It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. It's a wonderful opportunity to come and study the Word of God. Now please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to read the first five verses today. Revelation chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 5. So please open your Bibles and prepare for the study today if you can. If you're traveling, why, please just carefully listen. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to send us an email, you'll find you can do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And we have many messages, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation. Please check out our website if you would, please. I think you'll enjoy it. And now I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading now with the first verse of chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. I hope that was enough time now for you to again, enjoy the reading, look to the Word of God, and now let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you, and I praise you that we can come together today. I just ask that you'll speak to all the hearts today, those that know you as their Savior, that they'll enjoy it and grow, and those that do not know you today have never invited you into their hearts. I know, dear Lord, that you died on the cross of Calvary, that all can live. You took their sins away, but it's not a universal salvation. It is a salvation that comes by invitation. You ask, we ask, we invite you to come into our hearts and save us, and you will. You are faithful. And please, dear Lord, that not one person miss that free gift and that opportunity to invite you into their hearts and be saved. Be born again. You will know the day that you have done that. It'll be a day that you'll never forget. Father, please help all that are listening to never miss such a free gift and then begin that wonderful walk. Show us your way and word today, dear Lord. Please grow us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at that first verse, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The first voice which I heard, it's not the first time John heard the voice, but when he had come up, this is the first voice, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and a voice I heard was set as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither. That was the first voice in this event here that's taken place. We've just finished up the churches, and the last church was the church of Laodicea, and now we're moving into the next section here. And please, if you'll notice, it is beginning to be a section of judgment. And so please follow very closely. This voice that John heard was, of course, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately John moved in verse 2 there, and without delay, come up hither. And he did in the spirit. John left his body, and he went in the spirit. You see, he could not take his body because it had not yet been glorified. And so he still had his mortal body. So just in the spirit, he went heaven-bound and into the home of God, the throne of God. And that was the first statement that was made here, and immediately he responded. The second event or statement, and there was a throne, was set in heaven. Now this is what he witnessed, and we find that again in the second verse. And immediately, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And so when we see this, you know, this old world that we live in, there has been thrones and dominions and principalities that have been raised up and fallen and raised up and fallen. But what a sight, this throne that John witnessed. It is an eternal throne. There are none of this earth that will ever survive. They come and they go, risen and they fall, but none. Now here, this one is eternal, the throne of God that is in heaven. What a glorious day. This seems to be the first scene that John sees as he arrives. And this throne here, of course, is nothing. It is so great. It is Jehovah's government. It's his universal government. As God sits on his throne, as he watches all the people of the world, as he looks and he sees some praising, some serving, he sees some that are lazy, enjoying the world but not praising him, not praising the one that has created it, not praising the one that has given all the pleasures and the enjoyment of this world. And we even have some that even curse his name, the Creator. There's only one God, and that's Jehovah. There's not many gods. There's only one God. And this God is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet one God. The Scripture is very clear about that. And I just ask you that you trust in the Word of God and you follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please be saved. I just ask you that you walk each and every day. It's such a joyful day to hear the Word of God, to learn the Word of God. But it's not going to be joy. It's not going to excite your heart unless you know Jesus as your Savior. So please trust in Jesus today. This one that sits upon the throne is not named, but we do have the description. It's described here in verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day. You know, we look at that third verse here, and we can come back to First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. First and Second Thessalonians. First and Second Timothy. We'll go to First Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. As we find the one that is seated upon this throne, and a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was like unto jasper and sardis stone. Now, we're going to enjoy the study today when we look at these things. I don't know if you've just always just read through these verses of Scripture and think, what did this mean? I want to try to make it as simple and clarify it for you as we can so that you understand the Word of God. You need to realize that Scripture confirms Scripture. We just went back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and you'll find that we do that often. And that way, it does not give us just man's opinion. You see, that's why that I study, whether it's Sunday morning from the pulpit when I preach, whether it's Sunday school class that I teach, whether it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, the Lay's Bible study that is that we have here that's taught, it is taught the same way. Everyone is verse by verse by verse. Because you see, when you study the Word of God verse by verse, it's very difficult to change the Word unless you want to go to a different version. You can do that. You know, there's so many different versions of the Bible out now. You know that I stay with the King James, and there's a reason for that. I love the King James. I was saved under the King James. I know that there have been millions of people saved under the teaching of the King James Bible, and the concordance is in connection with that. I have the concordance. I have the Bible dictionary. I have the Vines. I have the King James, the Scofield Study Bible. And so all those notes and helps help us to look at these words and study them and enjoy them. I don't need to be looking for something that's simpler to read. This is very simple, very enjoyable, very exciting, and we need to stay with it and stop trying to find something that fits our little fancy. And so as we now are looking at the one that is seated up on this throne, sitting upon this throne, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone, like a jasper. Now, a jasper is clear as crystal. This symbolizes the pure holiness of God, this clear crystal. Now, the sardis is a blood red, and they call it a bloody stone. It's symbolizing the blood atonement. And that's what God demands for the remission of sins. So you see, we have the holiness of God, and we have the atonement that God offers through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the clear as crystal and the blood-red sardis, so jasper and sardis stone, first and second. Isn't it wonderful to look at the holiness of God, and yet the holiness of God is what keeps us out of heaven, because we have to be made perfect, and the only way we can do that is trusting in God's atoning power, His precious blood. And so please come by faith to the Lord Jesus, to the cross of Calvary, where He shed His blood for us, and then presented that blood to His Father in heaven. That's a wonderful study in Hebrews and back in Leviticus. If you join those two together, it is just so clear. Once again, Scripture confirms Scripture. Now, in Exodus chapter 28, I want to show you this, because now we've looked here, and keep in mind the jasper and the sardis stone. So jasper was listed first, then sardis is next. Now, go with me all the way to the opposite end, back to Exodus. I hope you know your Bible so you can flip through these scripture verses. You can hear the pages moving, so you know that I have not written it ahead of time. I am moving, and you can see by the condition of my Bible that is used often, and I study it, love teaching it. Now, if we'll look at Exodus chapter 28, and I hope that you had enough time there to do that. That's been one of the few complaints, but complaints we've had is that I don't give folks enough time to find the scripture verses. Well, let's do some Bible drills through the week so we're prepared. Let's study and know our scripture. Exodus chapter 28, beginning to read with verse 17. And thou shalt set in it settings of stone, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, and then topaz, carbuncle, This shall be the first row. The second row should be an emerald, sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. Fourth row, beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall all be set in gold in their enclosings. What this is the breastplate of the high priest. The breastplate of the high priest. Now, you'll notice that each one of these stones, they represent one of the tribes. There are 12 tribes. Let's just back up just a little bit here, because you see, you can't just jump to Revelation. A lot of people, oh, we're going to study Revelation. That's wonderful. Well, my friend, we spend much time in the Old Testament. You study Genesis, you study Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. You come and you study the Old Testament, especially the first five books of Moses. Know that, because if you do, it'll be such a blessing to you, and it will help you so much to understand the New Testament. We need to study all of the Old Testament, but when you study the first five books especially of the Old Testament, you'll see that that really helps. What's taking place here, if you're not familiar with it, there were 12 tribes. Where'd those 12 tribes come from? They came from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, God changed his name to Israel. That's how they got their name, the Israelites. It's because God changed their father's name. He had 12 sons. And those 12 sons became 12 families and in turn 12 tribes. And they went into Egypt when there was a famine in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan. There was a famine. They went down into Egypt. And they went down into Egypt with 70 souls. And they left Egypt 400 years later with, in the area between 1.5 to 3 million people. And that even has come after persecution. The 12 tribes. And so, as the high priest, you have the priestly line, which is the line of Levi, and then the high priestly line comes from Aaron. Now, Moses and Aaron were both of the tribe of Levi. Aaron, Moses' brother, was the first high priest. And as the scripture tells us, they were given this robe and this gown and the breastplate. We have first the ephod and the breastplate and the Urim, the Thurim, and all those things, the holy crown, all that you find back here in Exodus chapter 28. As we look at these stones, you find, and did you notice, that the first stone that's listed here on the high priest had special requirements, special services that he had to perform. One of the most special was on the Day of Atonement, and that was the day that he took the blood from the animal in and placed it, put it 7 times over the mercy seat in the tabernacle. If you have not studied the tabernacle, go online and you'll find the study of the book of Exodus is there. And there you will find the tabernacle, what it means. It is a wonderful study. It is not a short study. I believe the study that's online is 3 years long as far as a half hour each time. Now, you could take care of it much faster, but it took 3 years to do that, being a half hour every Sunday morning on the radio. We also did the book of Genesis to prepare everybody for that. That, too, is a 3-year study, a half hour on the radio. And so please that you, both of those are on the site, establish yourself in those, because you will really, it'll just help you to grow and to be strong. There we talk about the tabernacle and the high priest. Here, again, is the breastplate. That's how close it is to our Lord. It's at his chest, next to his heart. And the first one is the sardis stone, and if you'll notice, the last is the jasper. Now, if you'll flip back with me, hold your finger there in Exodus, and let's go back once again to the book of Revelation, and Revelation chapter 4, and we have just read in the third verse, Revelation 4, 3, he that sat was to look like a jasper and a sardis stone. They've flipped them, haven't they? The first stone that was listed here in Revelation is the last stone listed on the breastplate and vice versa. And so let's take a look now at the sardis stone. We looked at it being a clear crystal, symbolizing the purity and the holiness of God. It is of the tribe of Reuben. That's what the sardis stone stands for. The last stone, the jasper stone, the sardis stone is the one that's blood red, the bloody stone symbolizing the blood atonement. And so that's the last one that we have looked at in Revelation. It's the first one that we looked at in Exodus. Now, flipping those, and we look at the jasper stone, that is one that is clear as crystal, symbolizing the holiness of God. And that is of the tribe of Benjamin. That's the tribe of Benjamin. So notice that the first is last and the last is first. As we look at this first stone, the sardis, it speaks of the sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross of Calvary in the shedding of his blood. That would be his first coming. This word, as we look at it, this sardis, from the Hebrew, it means behold the sun. If you would go back with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. And so as we look now at the sardis stone, the first stone in the book of Exodus in the breastplate, the first listed there. Now the last, it speaks of the total victory, this the holiness of God. And that's what we desire. We desire to possess and to have the holiness of God. On this stone was Benjamin's name, which means the son of my right hand or the son of my power. So the first and the last stones point to the first and the second coming of our Lord. Isn't that a blessing? But here in Revelation, they're turned around. The last is first, and the first is last. Well, let's think about this. In the Old Testament, they look forward to the cross. In the Old Testament, they look forward to the cross, then to his second coming, when he would come as King of Kings and rule and reign. And so we have the first coming and the second coming, coming as the Lamb, coming as the Judge and the ruler, the King of Kings. So you see, in the Old Testament, they looked forward. They saw the cross first. So in the Old Testament was the sardis stone, the blood atonement. Then they could look beyond that and see the holiness of God in the clear as crystal under the jasper stone. But John, in Revelation, is looking back the other way. He is beyond looking back to see. He sees first the return in glory, and then he looks on back and sees the cross. See, he's looking from the other way. He's in heaven. God has brought him to a place where this has taken this taking place. So now he's seeing the Lord Jesus in all of his praise, all of his glory, and he sees him at the right hand of the Father, his throne we're talking about here, and he looks back and he sees the cross. Exodus, he looked forward, first thing they were going to see was the cross, and then God's glory. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. You'll find that, once again, Exodus 28. Read through Exodus 28. Now, the rainbow. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Emerald, that's green. And the rainbow is different than the rainbows that we see, because this rainbow was a circle round about the throne. You see, the rainbow is not just a bow in the sky. The rainbow here is a circle, an unbroken circle. It tells us of God's unbroken love. It tells us of the mercy of God. Now I'm going to give you one more hint here, and I hope that you're just falling in love more with the Word of God every day. The emerald. Do you know whose tribe that stone belonged to? Judas. It was the stone of the tribe of Judah. Do you know where the Lord Jesus, which tribe he comes through? Judah. What a picture. What a beautiful picture. Because God the Father showed us such great love, the greatest love ever, when he sent his only begotten Son here to earth to live and to die and to be buried and to rise again from the grave. What a glorious, glorious day. What a beautiful day that is. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I hope that when we were looking at the jasper stone and the sardis stone and now the emerald, that you'll see that this book, we're in the last book of God's precious Word. We're looking at times and things that have not happened yet. When we go all the way back to the book of Exodus, you see nothing has changed. God's plan is the same. It's to bring salvation to a lost and dying world. Do you see why you need to study the Word of God? Oh, we love studying the Word of God, looking at verse after verse after verse. It's wonderful. The fourth verse, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Twenty-four elders. Each had their own throne. The seats here are literally, it means thrones. We have many verses of Scripture to look up. And we're going to begin next time we come together with 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and 25. Now, we're not going to read those. We're just going to make reference to them so you can see why I believe that the Word of God teaches us that the 24 elders is the church. Now, if you get time between now and next time we come together, read 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and 25, and then we'll be able to begin the study next time we come together. What a beautiful experience that John is having, and we're a part of it. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?